بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ذو العزة والقدرة والهيبة والجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة وأشهد أن محمدًا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عبده ورسوله صفيه وخليله حبيبه ومصطفاه بعثه الله بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إليه بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فبلغ عن الله رسالاته ونصح له في برياته فجزاه الله خير ما جزى نبيا عن أمته اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد dear Muslim brothers and sisters Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تولوا عنه وأنتم تسمعون ولا تكونوا كالذين قالوا سمعنا وهم لا يسمعون A major distinguishing factor between a Muslim and the people of other so-called faiths or religions is his belief in the existence of one God whom he worships alone. The existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is apparent from the many convincing signs and creations that we notice and see in the universe. Some believe in the existence of one creator, but they commit the hideous act of associating partners with him subhanahu wa ta'ala, while others totally repudiate the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The denial of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a recipe for a doomed life. Anyone who closely scrutinizes and studies the diverse wonders which are explicit in the entire universe will give in to the naked truth of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم إن في ذلك لآيات للعالمين ومن آياته منامكم بالليل والنهار وابتغاؤكم من فضله إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يسمعون ومن آياته يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا وينزل من السماء ماء فيحيي به الأرض بعد موتها إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون and of his signs is that he created you from dust. Then suddenly you are human beings dispersing throughout the earth. And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates, so that you may feel tranquility with them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for people who are thinking or who give a thought. And of his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the diversity of your languages and color. Indeed, in that are signs for people of knowledge. And of his signs is your sleep by night and day, and you are seeking for his bounty. Indeed, in that are signs for those who listen. And of his signs is that he shows you the lightning, causing fear and aspiration. And he sends down the rain from the sky to bring life to the earth after it is lifelessness. Indeed, in that are signs for people who use reason. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Dear brothers and sisters, read those verses of the Quran with your hearts and minds, not merely by the tongue. Try to dive and go deeper into the apprehension of those great verses. You will come to the conclusion that Islam is a religion which is based on facts, not illusions or fiction. Those voices or calls which invite or advocate for atheism are hollow, just like a vacuum. They are baseless and totally absurd. The Quran, which is the book and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent down to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam through Angel Jibreel, sheds light on various scientific aspects which scientists came to know of many years later. Take an example, the issue of the development of the embryo in the womb of the mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. In those noble verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the different stages of the development of the embryo in the womb of the mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we have created man from an extract of clay. Then we made him in a safe place in the form of a sperm drop. Then we made from the sperm drop a clinging clot. And we made from the clot a lump of flesh. And we made from the flesh bones. And we covered the bones with flesh. And then we created him into other creations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verily is the most blessed and the best of creators, Jalla Jalaluhu. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqeen. Note that this description came to be known by scientists many centuries later, especially after the development of science in the 20th century. Professor Elmore, who is one of the prominent scientists in the fields of embryology and anatomy, said on the 7th medical conference, which was held in Saudi Arabia in around 1982, and I quote his words, "It has been a great pleasure for me to help clarify the statements on the development of embryo. It has become clear to me that those words came to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam from Allah. This proves to me that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam must have been a messenger of God. Why?" he says, "because almost all of his knowledge was not discovered until many centuries later." La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another example is that of the mountains. Professor Frank, who was the science advisor to former US President Jimmy Carter, and who was the president of the National Academy of Sciences in Washington, D.C. for around 12 years, mentioned in his book, The Earth, that mountains have deep underlying roots. The roots are deeply embedded in the ground, therefore giving the mountains a shape like a peg. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the peg-like shape of the mountains in the Quran many years before that, where he says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ awtada. Have we not made the earth a resting place and the mountains as stakes, like a peg or clip, as you may say, as you may please to say? Alam naj'al al-ardha mihada wal jibala awtada. The history of science tells us that the theory of mountains having deep roots was first introduced in the later half of the 19th century. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies in the Quran that the mountains play an important role in stabilizing the crust of the earth. They hinder the shaking of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَن تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ وَأَنْهَارًا وَسُبُلًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he said, and he cast in the earth firmly set mountains, lest that it doesn't shake with you. The earth doesn't shake. The mountains hinder it from shaking. And then he made rivers and roads so that you may be guided. And landmarks, and by the stars they are guided. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question and says, is the one who creates similar to the one who doesn't create? أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Do you not then take heed? Will you not be reminded then, when we ponder and think about these things, we come to the conclusion, as I earlier said, that Islam is a religion which is based on facts and not fiction. Likewise, in the modern theory of plate tectonics, they say that the mountains hinder the earth from shaking. Exactly the same thing which the Quran said many years ago. Let me clarify one thing. I am not comparing two things, Quran and science. They are totally incomparable. I just want to arrive at the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned all these secrets of the universe which they came to discover, which man came to discover many years later. Then the question is, who could have called attention to such mind-boggling facts at that period of time when people were absolutely benighted and unenlightened about science? The answer is clear. It is only the knower of the secrets of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in the Quran, قُلْ أَنزَلَهُ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. O Muhammad, say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Quran has been revealed by the one who knows the hidden things, the secrets in the heavens and in the earth. When you see all these signs, you should ponder over them. You should think, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders each and everyone to think with a just and sound mind. He says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةً أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَى ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا. I advise you of one thing. Say, O Muhammad alayhi salam to them, I advise you of one thing, and that is you stand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking the truth in pair and individually, then you give thought. You think of the signs which you see in the universe. What do they imply and where are they leading us to? When a scientist reads the Quran, he finds no evidence to refute the facts which are contained in the Quran, and eventually will accept Islam if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to that right path. The great scientists of this century, like Elmore and E. Marshall Johnson and many others, accepted Islam when they saw the tremendous description of the Quran regarding numerous scientific facts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborated in his final revelation. Therefore, when you truly believe in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the cherisher, the sustainer, the organizer, the planner, and the owner of everything, then you should worship and glorify him alone, Jalla Jalaluhu. You should establish all the commandments which come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without fail to the best of your ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. All you who have believed, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, and do not turn away from Him while you hear His order. Do not be like those who said, we have heard, when they have not really heard. They didn't take heed. So you have to obey and act on what you have heard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed those rebellious and adamant ones among the Israelites when they disobeyed him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, narrating to us about that in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاسْمَعُوا قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. And recall when we set the mount over you and said to you, take that which has come to you from us with sincere determination and listen. They said, we have listened, but we disobey. سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on all and sundry to obey him with phrases such as, O mankind, O children of Adam, O my slaves, and many other similar statements. Definitely, those calls or proclamations are meant for me and you. That's why one of the predecessors, one of the Salaf said, when you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling all you who have believed, you have to pay attention. Because it is either a good thing you are being asked to carry out or a bad thing which you are to be cautious of. All commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring life to the heart, resulting into happiness in this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wal rasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. All you who have believed, respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to that of his messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam when they call you to that which gives life to your heart. Idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Turning a deaf ear voluntarily to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very dangerous. The fruit of that is punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of being dismissed from guidance. Anyone who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of arrogance will be misguided and will never be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of being overpowered by your soul desires or by being misled by shaitan, you feel guilty about that, you have a strong urge to repent, then you stand a better chance than the one who disobeys arrogantly and sees nothing wrong in his doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the story of the people of the Sabbath in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا. واسألهم عن القرية التي كانت حاضرة البحر إذ يعدون في السبت إذ تأتيهم حيتانهم يوم سبتهم شرعا ويوم لا يسبتون لا تأتيهم كذلك نبلوهم بما كانوا يفسقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and ask them about the town that was by the sea when they transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath on Saturday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banned from them fishing on Saturday. He prohibited fishing from them on Saturday. They were not allowed to fish on Saturday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعَ وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. They transgressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them not to fish on Saturday, but they were given a test. Amazingly, the fish could be abundantly available on the seashore on Saturday. On the other days of the week, it will be deep in the high sea. When they saw this, they devised a trick to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They devised a trick to do fishing. They fixed all their nets, fishing nets, all the ropes, excavating a stream through which the seawater can run, making the fish fall into the traps. They made all these preparations on Friday, and on Saturday, because they were not allowed to fish, they could come and easily harvest the fish, which was now trapped in the trap which they had set on the day earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them for their dereliction and non-compliance. He says, فَلَمَّا عَتَوْا عَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْهُ قُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا كَرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. When they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and did that very shameful and ugly thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, defaced them and made them to be apes. Allah says, we said to them, be apes despised. That was the punishment which they faced for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a clear-cut lesson for all of us, to be cognizant of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to shun disobedience to Him and His Messenger, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. The only remark which a believer should make when a commandment comes to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger is, we hear and we obey. Sami'na wa ata'na. And after they say that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an account of their ending for making such a beautiful declaration. And He says, wa ulaika humul muflihun. And such are the prosperous ones who will enjoy a halcyon and happy life ahead. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah which reads, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. To Allah belongs subhanahu wa ta'ala all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whether you conceal or you show that which is in your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to account for it. That was the previous revelation. Then He will forgive for him He wishes, and He will punish the one He wishes, Jalla Jalaluhu. When the companions heard this verse, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nervously excited and said, Ya Rasulullah, till today we thought that we will not be held accountable for the things, for the thoughts which come to our hearts and minds, which we can't control. We thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable only for the deeds which we commit. But this verse is saying that we will be taken account for the things that cross our hearts and minds. This way no one can escape punishment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them to show compliance and capitulation by saying, سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Say, we have listened and we have obeyed. Our Lord, your pardon, and to you is our return. When they said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded them by bringing another revelation, getting rid of their worry. They were assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold accountable anyone for the thoughts which come to his mind and his heart, so long as those thoughts are not translated into action. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها إلى آخر الآيات. Those are the verses which came after that verse. The lesson which we derive from this is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains something for you as a believer, you should work hard to obey that order, whether it is easy or otherwise, because you are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the way of a Muslim, it's not a true way of a Muslim to show hesitation when a commandment comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No conditions, no reluctance, only obedience is the right doing when the order is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never hesitated when commandments came to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they set very good examples. One of the marvelous examples which they said was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the prohibition of drinking alcohol. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu wa arda says, as narrated by Bukhari, while I was standing and distributing the drink to Abu Talha and so he named many other companions, that was before it was prohibited, a man came to us and said, has the news not reached you? They asked him, what news? And he said, drinking alcohol has been prohibited. You know what they did after that? All of them, all those who were present and who were taking the drink, talked to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu ardah, and they ordered him saying, oh Anas, pour all the contents of the pots. They not only stopped drinking, but they poured everything which they were drinking. They never even tried to seek more clarification about the news. It was from Allah subhanahu, it is from Allah and His Messenger. They know what they are supposed to do. They should obey unconditionally. Contemplate about that. Compare the obedience to the obedience of present-day Muslims. I suppose if present-day Muslims were in their position, you could hear many weird remarks. Some of them could say, I don't think this news is right. Maybe you have heard it wrong. Others could say, it is only Rasulullah who can tell me what's haram and halal. Provided that he is in Medina, I will not listen to anyone else. And some could even go further than that and say, it's an urgent announcement. It will take some time to be implemented. So please pour for me the drink and let us carry on. They never did all that. Immediately they heard the order, they followed, and that is how a true believer should be. Hearing the word of command was enough for them to obey. Another good instance is that of the revelation of the hijab. Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the early immigrant women, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ, let them draw or lower their veils on their bosoms, that is on their body, let them cover themselves. The believing women tore their thick outer garments and made veils from them. Umm Salama radiallahu anha adds in another narration that their revelation came at night. The verse was revealed at night. And in the morning, when the women came to pray Salatul Fajr with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's as if they had crows on their heads, meaning they were all covered with veils. Subhanallah, how fast the revelation or the order comes at night. And in the morning, within just a span of 12 hours or less, everyone is acting according to the verse. Ask yourself, how quick do you respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger? How quickly do you act on that? The revelation comes at night, and in the morning, everyone is acting according to the verse. Unfortunately, some of our Muslim sisters today, they hear about the hijab, but wearing the hijab becomes a burden to them. How I wish they could tread the path of those early Muslim ladies who accomplished the command in just less than 12 hours. That is how they were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Immediately they hear, they will obey. No conditions. Their obedience was unconditional. And if you want to know how serious they were about obeying the orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, listen to these words of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu wa ardah, which he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of the battle of Badr. And I quote, he said, O Prophet of Allah, we believe in you and we bear witness to that which you have vouchsafed for us. We declare in unequivocal terms that what you have brought to us is the truth. We give you our firm pledge of obedience and sacrifice. We will obey you most willingly to whatever you command us. I repeat, he is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will obey you most willingly in whatever you command us. By Allah who has sent you with the truth, if you were to ask us to plunge ourselves into the sea, we could do that most readily, and no one among us could remain behind. We don't grudge the idea of encounter with the enemy. We are experienced in war and trustworthy in combat. And we wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you through our hands good deeds of value. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you through our hands good deeds of value so that you can be pleased, O Rasulullah. Kindly lead us to the battlefield in the name of Allah. Those were the words of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu arda on the day of the battle of Badr. I suppose you all know of the hadith when Rasulullah threw away a gold ring from a Sahabi. A Sahabi came to Rasulullah wearing a gold ring. He didn't know that it is haram for men to wear gold. When he came, Rasulullah removed the ring from his finger and threw it away. When Rasulullah left, the other companion said to the man, take your ring and benefit it from eating other ways. Wearing is haram, but you can sell it. It's not haram for men to sell gold, it's only haram for them to wear it. Take your ring and benefit from it in other ways. You know what he said? He said, by Allah, I will never ever pick it up after Rasulullah has thrown it away. A gold ring. I suppose you know how they were in need of such treasure in those days. But he's leaving it. Why? Because Rasulullah threw it away. Hearing the word of command was enough for them to obey. Imam al-Bayhaqi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi narrates that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Friday as usual, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the masjid so as to give the Friday khutbah. When he came in, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked some of the companions who were standing to sit down. Maybe they were making arrangements and all that. So he asked them to sit down so that he can start the khutbah, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, who was among the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, sit. And he sat wherever he was outside the masjid under the scorching sun. He didn't even proceed to enter the masjid. The order was not meant for him. It was meant for those who were in the masjid so that they can sit and Rasulullah could continue with the khutbah. But he heard Rasulullah saying, sit. And that was enough for Abdullah ibn Rawaha to obey. He sat wherever he was. He didn't seek more clarification. He didn't bother about the context of the order and so on. His was to obey because it is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today, sometimes if you tell a Muslim, some Muslims, not all, that what you are doing is haram, or such and such thing is haram, you will hear very ridiculous remarks. Allow me to call them ridiculous remarks. A person might tell you, Sheikh, it is not that much haram. What do you mean by saying not that much haram? A thermometer is for measuring temperature. A hygrometer is for measuring humidity. A barometer is for measuring atmospheric pressure. When you are saying it is not that much haram, do you have haramometer for measuring the degree of haram? What exactly does this person mean by saying it is not that much haram? It is confirmed it is haram. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prohibition is from Allah. It is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are supposed to obey. Others may tell you, Sheikh, I strongly believe that there is difference of opinion on this matter. I don't think this is the unanimous view. Could you please do more research and reading the other books of fiqh? And you will find the person who is responding this way is very far from fiqh. It's not related with fiqh in any way. But today when we are told such and such thing is haram, we all become Plato and Aristotle, you know, those great philosophers, and we start giving a lot of philosophies and theories only to justify our stand. But for them, the story was different. They were told this is haram, that is enough. This is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is enough. They obey unconditionally. Today, because we live in an era in which man has made a lot of advancements, especially in technology, people seem to be relying more on their minds, thereby making reasoning in every matter, even in religious matters, a routine. Reasoning has gone so far that people will obey the divine orders only when they know the reason behind this order. People have gone to the extent of ruling out the authenticity of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the mere claim that it contradicts with the human mind. Today, some Muslims have developed a bizarre behavior of trying to be well versed with the wisdom behind the order before they can obey. Allahu Akbar. I think it is not wrong to say that some Muslims carry out the divine orders wholeheartedly only when they are broad-minded about the wisdom behind this order. That is when they will do it. It is not erratic to search for the reasons behind this order sometimes, but the most fallacious thing is to make knowing the reason a condition for obeying the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Some of the acts of worship which we do today are purely spiritual. We can't know the reasons behind them, however much we try to know. So there is no room for reasoning in such kinds of such acts of worship. You do as you are told. Those who want to know the reason behind each and everything before they do it, they have not truly submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Islam is total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do whatever that comes to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you know the reason or you don't know the reason behind it. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. You are a true Muslim. You should obey. That is enough. We all know of the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi wa ala nabiyyina salatu wa salam. He left his wife Hajar and his child Ismail in a desert with no food or water, a desolate place. The valley had no signs of life. The weather was very harsh and hostile. When he helped his wife and his child Ismail to dismount, he turned around and walked away, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi wa salatu wasalam. His wife hurried behind him, asking him, "Oh Ibrahim, where are you leaving us? Why are you leaving us in this place, in this barren land?" But he didn't reply. He didn't respond. He didn't even turn to her. Then she asked him, "Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do so?" Then he nodded. He didn't even reply by word. And he went away, proceeded with his walk. The great wife, with a heart full of iman, said, "Then we will not be lost. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has commanded you to leave, will take care of us." Allahu Akbar. That is how they are. It's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be obeyed. Logically, it is not right to leave a helpless wife and a young child in such a dangerous place. But when it's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be obeyed. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did not even think twice. It's a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is logical and what's illogical. He knows what He has ordered you and why He has ordered you to do so. And if you obey, He will reward you by taking care of everything the way He took care of Hajar and Ismail alayhi wa ala nabiyyina salatu wasalam. Such kind of decrees have a purpose. The purpose is to test the level of your obedience and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do it, then congrats, you have passed the test. If you fail to accomplish it, then I'm sorry. The results may not be good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put all of you to test. And He will make evident those who are truthful in their faith and those who are just merely claiming to be faithful and mu'min, but they are not in reality a straight and good mu'min. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu arda came to kiss the black stone in the Kaaba, Hajar al-Aswad, he said, "I know you are just but a stone. You can neither harm me nor benefit me in any way. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing you, and that is why I am kissing you." That is it. Here Umar is teaching us a very eminent thing. That is, to put obedience before logic if the edict is up from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger. You have to follow. You have to obey. So long as you are a Muslim, you have to establish all the commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger to the best of your ability. Let me then conclude by mentioning the most exorbitant reward for obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger unconditionally. The reward is that thing which we all aspire for, which we all want, which we all need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that reward. It is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward those who obey Him by taking them to paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى." Whoever obeys me will go to Jannah. If you obey Rasulullah, you have obeyed Allah. Because He will only order you that which has come to Him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasulullah continues and concludes by saying, "وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى." And whoever disobeys, then he has refused to go to Jannah out of his own will. He should only blame himself on the day of Qiyamah. Therefore, the message which I send to myself and to everyone today is that obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger unconditionally, and you will appreciate the outcome profoundly. Thank you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that from us. Whatever I have said right is not because of my knowledge, but by the will and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever wrong I have made is from myself and Shaytan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me, and then I apologize to all of you. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ أحب الصالحين ولست منهم لعلي أن أنال بهم شفاعة وأكره من تجارته المعاصي ولو كنا سواء في البضاعة. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، والحمد لله رب العالمين.